All right, welcome everyone to another Tuesday afternoon here in America and Tuesday evening in Scotland, Ireland, the UK and elsewhere in Europe. And we are being broadcast all over the world. I know we have quite a few listeners that come in and listen to most of the shows from all over the world. We do get emails and notifications through social media and that, but it currently is Tuesday afternoon here in America, just past 4 p.m. and just past 9 p.m. in Ireland and Scotland. On the 31st of the 12th, as it would be, 2019. Over there, I'm Stephen Robertson. This is Cancel the Cabal. I do want to welcome back one of my favorite guests in the past. I've been doing this almost 7 years now, and I got a message over 6.5 years ago from a friend that was in another network, and she's also in this network, but she sent me messages and said, get a hold of this woman and try to get her on, because she has a lot of great research and she's been a big fan of yours. She actually helped me the first time we interviewed my guest, but I want to welcome Dr. Judith Reisman. One of her websites is drjudithreisman.com and also thereismaninstitute.org, I believe. I think I got that right.
Yep.
Okay. Dr. Reisman successfully spent much of her career laying the foundations for deconstructing both soft pornography and Kinsey myths. Her work uncovering and documenting systemic perversion by well-funded efforts in academia, politics, business, media, sheds light on what spawned the sexual from birth dogma and helped launch the global population of classrooms and institutions, our print, broadcast media, and indeed the internet. I do remember from the first time she said that Dr. Kinsey, his so-called research, his so-called scientific research, which is pretty much fraudulent research, spawned the 1960s sexual revolution. I do remember her telling that, but I want to welcome back Dr. Judith Reisman. Welcome
thank
back
you.
To the show.
Thank
welcome.
You. Glad to be here. Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Well, you're very welcome. I think I was going to say something about some of the books I've seen on here. You have Kinsey, Sex and Fraud. You also have Soft Porn Plays Hardball. And you have Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences, Sexual Sabotage, and Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence. Is that pretty much the extent of your research and authorship?
Well, it's the extent of the hardback, you know, books that are sold, but the work that I did for the Department of Justice was a huge report on images of children, crime, and violence in Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler. So that's available on my website also. And the story behind that really is the work that kind of I'm still engaged in because of what was done to that research by the FBI and DOJ, which I was supposed to be working with them on a task force to back in 1984 to look at and to take control of what we knew what was happening at the time. The FBI and DOJ together looking at the increase in child rape, child abuse, kidnapping, murder, and that kind of thing, which seems to be such a surprise to people today. Well, that was 1984. And our task force, which met at the John Jay Center on Criminal Justice in Houston and then at Quantico, Virginia, at the FBI headquarters, and was supposed to go, you know, look into all these things. Well, the political structure above us found out what we were going to be doing and crushed that very quickly and put me under a microscope, 3 congressional investigations of my work, you know, to try and eliminate it. So we were certainly onto something at the time, but I had no idea how much we were on to the role of the political elite in controlling and needing this sex traffic of children. And of course now, you know, with this, what's his name, who killed himself in prison?
Epstein, yep. Jeffrey Epstein.
That's who it was, yes. Yeah, who killed himself, right? A lot of people go around killing themselves. Anyway, and the latest expose of the FBI vault on the finders, in combination with what we knew already, was we were beginning to gather, we know that the elite, politically elite, powerful, have been controlling the dissemination of any kind of information on sexual abuse of kids, so that they could be able to command as many children as possible. They're not interested in these women anymore. Women.
Well, that's,
I mean, of age women. Who needs sure. that, right? No, they're not interested in that. We're down to kids. And with kids, we're down to babies who yes. are being abused.
Well, that's the thing. That's raped. The thing about the Jeffrey Epstein scandal or whatever. He was a billionaire. There are allegations out there that he has Israeli Mossad ties and also CIA ties. He's a billionaire.
And MI6 and all that kind
yes,
of
yes.
thing. Yeah.
MI5, MI6.
Whatever that's called. Yeah.
The allegations against him are he has a private island, millionaires, billionaires, celebrities, royals mm-hmm. from all over the world fly into mm-hmm. his island. Mm-hmm. And allegedly have sex with children and underage, underage boys and girls. That's mm-hmm. that's the allegation. He apparently has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cameras all over his island, and they are all taping this stuff. And apparently they expect us to believe that he committed suicide.
Well, you know, we can believe that if we want, I suppose. It's hardly likely. But what is likely is you have a lot of people who feared the information that would get out and ruin them completely. And these have to be very powerful people. When I went back and I looked at how many people in political life, political leaders, would have been arrested if we, the FBI and DOJ, had been allowed to go forward with our task force on serial murder and serial rape of kids, you'd have filled probably one of the legislative rooms with the number of political people. I mean, the names, and I'm working on that now. Although, if you wanted to find out the number of people doing these dastardly things back in the 80s, well, that's nothing compared to now, because of course the blackmail begins to take place immediately when people are doing things that can be blackmailed, when they have names. If it's Joe Schmo down at the grocery store, he doesn't have a name, it's not important. So I'm not saying he's not important, but from the standpoint of the power structure, no. So we know these were highly placed people. I've seen names of that I could never, I mean, I would have to really have enormous amount of documentation if I were going to name some of those names. But
well, certainly. I believe the woman's name is Virginia Roberts, actually.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's means anything significant, but she is allegedly the one that was targeted by Epstein, yeah. I think, at the age of 16.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the fact that this, what's her name? His pimp lady. What was her name?
I'd have to search it.
Name from the UK, from England. Yeah. His pimp lady, the one who went out and got the girls.
Sure.
And then apparently engaged in sex with them it also. The fact that she has not been pulled in, give me a break.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Come on.
Exactly.
You know, you can't find this chick. That makes no sense at all. The FBI, CIA, DOJ, MK Ultra, MI6 in the Mossad, and all these guys. Nobody can find her?
Right,
what?
Right.
You know what? Tell me another story. It goes with the Epstein suicide story. Huh?
Well, you know, there's a lot of just a lot of disinformation, a lot of deceptions that are going on. The very, very first reports, the first at least a few days, if not the first week, once his so-called suicide, the cameras in the jail cell allegedly malfunctioned.
Oh, yeah, all that. Yeah, of course. They malfunctioned. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, now, I think about 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, they finally came out and reported, say, well, okay, they didn't malfunction. The cameras, the footage is missing. That's their story now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's neither here nor there with our story because
correct.
Our story is how did it all happen? Our story or my story is you start with phony science, which was promoted, lobbied all across the nation by the Rockefeller Foundation at that time. That was Dr. Kinsey. He was nobody. Who knew about this WASP guy? You know, WASP meaning the little wasps, not WASP.
Yes.
Anglo-Saxon Protestant. So, I mean, whoever heard of him is in a backwoods college, which was called Indiana University, which was nothing. Okay. Until all that money from the Ford, not at that time, it was Rockefeller. When the Rockefellers were poured into there, just after World War II, he becomes world famous. We just found out, he was working with these CIA Columbia University scholars, quote unquote, or professors, doing investigating mental hospitals, yeah? Investigating the children and the adults there. He was in charge of the sexual stuff, whatever that was. It's not very well explained. In 1953, he writes about it to some extent in his book on the females. Now, Kinsey was always designed by the Rockefeller Foundation and the powers that be to change the world. That's what he was there for. His research was always fraudulent. Good gracious, it was so full of lies. It's unbelievable. And the worst, of course, was, as far as I'm concerned, I became very concerned when I saw what he had written about children. Children are sexual from birth. They are sexual from birth. They can have orgasms, you know, at 2 months of age, if not sooner. And so he tortured these children. His team tortured them or whoever. Yeah, it was his team. And I assume he was part of the team because he reported on it and gave evidence to it around the clock, 24 hours around the clock, clocking these poor little darlings with a stopwatch, you know, 196 boys. He was a bi-homosexual pedophile, a pederast, really. He was a sadomasochist. This was this nice guy who was shown to the world to be your average American, you know, professor. Now, why? Why did they do all that? I mean, why would he be, you know, so important? Well, he was important because science determined everything in the United States after the war. We won the war because of science, allegedly. I mean, mainly, you know, we had an unbelievable production of planes and our boats and our bombs and so on. And of course, the men and the women there were pretty important too. They had to, you know, run the things. They had to die overseas and so on. But science really was given a lot of credit for winning the Second World War. And And we became enamored. We were sold a bill of goods. We didn't just become enamored. It was a major propaganda campaign for Kinsey. On all, it's over 70% of the headlines in the newspapers and in magazines and so on talked about what Kinsey discovered and what he told us, the truth about ourselves. One of the big truths was that everybody can be anything. Sure. He had a scale, you know. He said, well, you know, 10 to 37% of us are homosexual, but, you know, everything was possible. So it was the gender fluid concept. So all of this emerges. And the most important thing, all of our laws get changed, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
So our laws are changed because the laws had been based on the common law, biblical law. There was nothing else. There was nothing else to base things on. Essentially, this was it.
Sure.
And because of that, half the states in the union could give the death penalty for rape.
Certainly.
Yeah. And the other half, pretty much, life in prison.
Yeah.
Not that they actually did it. They did it sometimes.
Apparently. Kinsey wasn't even either a psychologist or a sociologist, was he?
No, but it wouldn't have mattered. Come on. That's all bunk. You know, not bunk, but, you know, you have to really look at all that stuff. I mean, psychology, sociology. Look, it's people who do the research. Those people have an agenda, a belief system in place, or they wouldn't do it in the first place.
Yes.
Well, wasn't
his work taken as psychology and sociology truths?
Oh, yeah. He was taken as truth across the board. Psychology, sociology, theology, too, you know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, and everything. Well, we had the American Psychiatric Association made its decision on homosexuality grounded on Kinsey. Yeah, that's right. And then following them, which the psychologists always follow this psychiatrist, the American Psychiatric Association did the same. And then the American Sociological Association then, and the American Psychological Association, know, everybody followed the big guys, the psychiatrists. And remember, we had so many films out in those years talking about the great, you know, psychiatrists with the white coat and who did this, you know, wonderful analysis of the woman who was having whatever and the man. I mean, yeah, so there was a lot of propaganda across the board for psychiatry. And Freud was no longer, you know, he was sort of downstream. And he wasn't for the American, average American, or even the upscale, because after all, come on, he was in Europe, he was, you know, with the beard and all that kind of stuff. So we needed a straightforward-looking American male who was called conservative. He was portrayed, Kinsey was portrayed as your conservative guy. Well, excuse me? A sadomasochistic, homosexual, bisexual, masturbatory, obsessed.
That's pretty.
Yeah, I mean, this is average?
That's pretty much the Republican Party today also.
A lot of that, yeah. A lot of that. It's everywhere. Now, now we've had three generations since Kinsey. Three generations of people are raised on that stuff, raised on that. And, of course, those who followed him improved. Those who followed him, you have to understand that those who followed him had to accept what he said. Now, who could accept what somebody says about a two-month-old baby, a five-month-old baby having orgasms? Who accepts that? What kind of mind accepts that, right?
Well, certainly. I don't recall because I didn't go back and listen to the previous interview or anything, but did we talk about the organization called NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association?
I don't know if we did, but certainly that comes right out of it. Yeah.
I believe that they pretty much base their entire existence off of pedophilia and other word you call it?
One of their key guys was it Pomeroy or was it Gebhardt? One of the Kinsey co-authors was working with the Mattachine Society. Yeah, that was, the bridge. But when we did a video, which everybody should watch, not the children of Table 13, but everybody could watch that too. What's the name of the British one? Kinsey's Pedophiles, right? Kinsey's Pedophiles. That British film documentary, he found a Nazi pedophile that Kinsey had been working with, had been sending books to about child sexuality to encourage him. He found, this is all in Kinsey's Pedophiles, documented. And headmaster in New Jersey was raping boys. And the Mattachine Society was working with NAMBLA. No, it was all going on at the same time, and it was all drawing their, and on the NAMBLA website, right, on the NAMBLA website, there's a picture, unless they watch this and take it off, there's a picture of Kinsey doing an alleged interview with some average American woman who was not an average American woman. She was one of his secretaries. And the picture is on the NAMBLA website, with Kinsey and with this lady, person, has a quote from him. And the quote is saying, there's no harm, no harm to children from sex with a loving pedophile and that kind of thing. So the only harm comes, when parents and teachers become hysterical.
Well, that's one of NAMBLA's biggest claim, and also one of Kinsey's biggest claim, that these children allegedly enjoyed this and they wanted it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he describes an orgasm. That's funny. When I first read that book, Kinsey's Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, I'm reading these alleged orgasms, from these little babies, right? And I think to myself, now, come on. How does he describe an orgasm? Would he talk about his description of an orgasm?
Screams and cries?
So I go to the index and I'm looking up orgasm, O-R-G-A-S-M. And I go back and on pages 160 and 161 of his own book, in his own words, Kinsey describes children, he says, especially among the younger children. That's the only time he doesn't say children. Usually it's pre-adolescent, usually, or underage, not something else. Anyway, he says screaming, writhing in pain, having convulsions, fainting, these to him are orgasms.
Yes, that's
what he says. And then he says, especially, and some children, some males, he says, right, will strike the partner to get away. Wait a minute. The partner. He's no longer he, she is no longer she. Kinsey started all that. He manipulated all the language back then. Man who's raping this child is the child's partner?
Yes.
Like somebody you go into business with is your partner?
Trying to use semantics, maybe?
What?
Trying to use semantics, maybe?
Oh, my goodness. To change the language so that people won't understand what they're reading. Well, so they won't understand what they're hearing.
Certainly. That's one of their big manipulations and deceptions today. I think in the last couple of years, they have come out with this term called youth attracted adults.
Oh, yeah. Minor attracted
adults.
Minor attracted. Yes. Minor attracted.
Adultism, maybe? Or
persons.
Persons, okay.
Minor attracted persons. MAP. Minor attracted persons. It's MAP. That's what it's called. Yeah. I went to that conference of pedophiles. Yeah. It was very interesting.
Did you?
Because what's his name? Fred Berlin was giving a keynote presentation at that lecture. And I had just joined Liberty University. And I said, you know, I want to go there. And so the dean said, well, you're not going to go alone.
Right.
So Matt Barber, big strapping guy who's a professional boxer in his early life, went with me. And we went to that conference where Fred Berlin of Johns Hopkins was speaking to the MAP. Well, it's Before You Act. That's another tricky one. Before You Act conference. And they were saying there were about 50 people there, women and men. Oh, there are women and men now. Oh, women are getting into this. We're having a huge number of women in teaching profession who are abusing children.
I was going to just say that there's been quite a few female teachers in the last decade or so that have been tried and convicted and sent to jail for underage sex. Yeah.
Yeah, but the women usually get a slap on the wrist. You know, they do. If they're convicted, the men at least right now, and there are tons of professionals, professors, doctors, lawyers. There's Lori Handrahan did a book called Exposé, I think it is. Well, yeah. Professionals who have been raping kids and getting child pornography and that sort of thing, which is child pornography is child rape, you know. So people who buy that kind of thing, who become excited, physically gratified by it, are being gratified by child rape. But anyway, so the guys, they get a lot better. I mean, a lot more time, but they don't get killed. There's no threat of capital punishment as there was in 1948 when Kinsey came out with his book. Thank you very much. Nobody, you know, and certainly not life in prison as the alternative. So they're getting a slap on the wrist, all of them, and they're out again. And people fear that they're coming or their friends are going to come and get them if somebody turns them in. I mean, the idea that these people should not get life in prison and the idea that they should not get capital punishment, you're talking to the wrong person if you think that I agree with that.
Exactly, me too.
If they're convicted of any kind of activity with a child, there ought to be, that's an end to their life
certainly.
Terms of the community. Yeah.
No, it's one thing for adults over the age of, 18 or 19 or 20, whatever the age happens
to be. Used to be 21.
Sure, it did. It's one thing for an adult to do whatever they want to do with another adult, but the children, I say leave them alone too, and they shouldn't really see the light of day. Most of the men that do get convicted of child molestation or some other type of sex crime, they really have to put them off in their own little section because they don't do very well in the general population of prison.
Well, that used to be. I'm not sure how true that is anymore. No, there are so many of them. I don't know. I mean, it used to be the case.
But they do still get murdered. They do still end up getting murdered.
Oh, do they?
Yes, they do. Yes.
You see, therefore, if they have a chance to face execution where they have an opportunity to make peace with God and so on, that's a lot better for them, I would think.
Well, certainly. I was going to go in so many directions, but we don't need to go into a lot of directions. I think, we've only got about 25 minutes left here, I would like to say I do have four networks I can ask for questions or anything like that, and it's going to take about 30 seconds to get to the networks, but I'm sure there must be questions.
Okay.
Your initial research goes back to the mid-70s, doesn't it?
No. The research I did on pornography, well, and on Kinsey, goes back to the 40s.
No, I mean, when did you start doing your research?
Oh, I started doing my research would be about 1968, 67, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. So it's been 50 plus years then.
Yeah. We haven't gotten better. It's not improved, in my view.
No, it hasn't. It's only gotten worse.
It's not improved, in my view, especially if we're looking at the lives of our children and what they're taught in schools. I mean, my goodness, children are being traumatized in schools right and left as we speak.
Certainly, certainly they are. I think there might be a question. Oh, none questions in two of the chat rooms, but I'm sure that there will be questions. How did you initially get interested or introduced to the Kinsey reports and the pedophilia?
Obviously. 1960, which is, no, it's not, yeah. My daughter was raped. It has to be a tragedy that takes you. I used to be a songwriter, I used to be a songwriter and singer. I used to work on TV, ABC, NBC, CBS. Yeah. And who would leave that to go do this? So, yeah, I mean, it was a result of my daughter being raped by the boy upstairs who was 14. And it turned out that the laws had been changed enough so that if I went to the police about it, which I wanted to do, but my daughter would not allow it, and I had to respect her wishes. But if I had gone to the police, I find out later, there's what I call a peer rape window, peer rape window, where people who are the same age or 4 years or maybe 5 years older, really it's supposed to be child play.
It wasn't considered rape back then? Is that what you mean?
No, you could call it rape, but it wasn't treated that way.
Okay.
If it was within that designated year, and it's still the case throughout the country, I think, really, to a greater, lesser extent. So that if a child is raped by somebody who's within a year or two or three, and sometimes four, and sometimes five of that child, then it's lesser. It's not really significant. Okay. People are starting now to say, sorry, but, it's the same kind of, it's the same. Now it's different, of course, if it's, you've got a teacher, you've got a person in power, you've got a family member, that kind of thing. But what I started to say was we've had three generations of propaganda. We've had three generations of training of our children who became our adults, who became our doctors, our lawyers, who had children, who became adults, who became our doctors, our lawyers, and so on and so on.
Yes.
We've had three generations of indoctrination of people.
Yes.
The brain changes that have been taking place epigenetically over time have really made a difference in our character, in our character.
Can you tell me, Dr. Reisman, I want to say first, 2011, the Penn State University Jerry Sandusky scandal is one of the main reasons why I actually started to do this. That was in 2011. I stewed about it because, well, I think I was molested as a boy. And it really hit me right in the back of the head like a ton of bricks. And I did a lot of research about this internet radio stuff and the video podcasting and all that type of stuff. And that was the main case that really broke it for me. I grew up Catholic from the mid-70s until 1982 when I graduated high school, and I started hearing the Catholic Church scandals somewhere in like 78, 79, 80, and I left the Catholic Church and went elsewhere to a different denomination. But, you know, the fact that Jerry Sandusky, there were many, many reports that come out after his scandal did that the FBI, the local police, and all of the major news agencies knew about it for, I think it was, I don't know how many years, like so many, 12, 13, 15 years, whatever it was, since he first started coaching in that. But were there indications that of that same type of cover-up and all of the agencies, the policing agencies and the news agencies, as far as Kinsey went? Do you know if there was a big cover-up with him?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Of course. Well, the Rockefeller Foundation, remember, had a lot of power. And first, the universities came on side with Kinsey, almost to a man, in a sense. There were some outliers, you know. Who and well-known guys who said, no, this doesn't make sense. But nobody pointed out the children, of course. Nobody pointed out the children. And when I first discovered the children, I thought, there must be something written about this. You know, we've had thousands and thousands of articles, books in every discipline quoting Kinsey. There had to be something. So did a very thorough library searches and so on. And no, there was nothing that even touched on the rapes of these children. Nothing. And it kept being repeated over and over again as though these facts were facts. Anyway, and by the way, in Sandusky, I wrote about the Sandusky case. As a matter of fact, I was approached by one of the detectives for on that. And so I ended up doing a lot of research. And strange of all things, Sandusky was not Sandusky, the president of Penn State, who was, what's his name?
The president?
Yeah, the president.
I'm not positive. I'd have to look that up.
I remember. Well, anyway, Spiner. Yeah, something like that. So I didn't. I went back and I took a, because there's no question about Sandusky. He knew it. He knew it all along.
Well, sure. The entire university had to have known.
Yeah, but everybody knew. Everybody knew.
Joe Paterno, the head coach.
And the Spiner, I looked into his background. And his as the president of Penn State, and remember, he was the president of other ones before that. He had written on he was doing psych, and he had written on the relationship between how did it go? I remember exactly now. But anyway, he used Kinsey as Kinsey's data, the actual data. He relied on those, to make his conclusions about children, which affected, of course, his teaching, right? Yes, and his beliefs at the university.
Sure.
And Playboy magazine, right? I mean, it brought the two together. It was absolutely outrageous. So anyway, so that was his doctoral dissertation was, and which affects everything affects everything else.
Sure.
Everything affects everything else. As far as the Catholic Church is concerned, you have to, I don't know if you know, but the church was the victim. Oh, look, the Catholic Church had to be taken out. I mean, there's no question about it. It posed a real threat
to
the powers that be, really.
Certainly.
I mean, it, because of their position on abortion, on marriage, and on homosexuality, and their position on treating children properly. So what happened? Well, they were trained by a new coming, you know, young guys who were going to enter the seminaries. Major seminaries were trained with pornography coming out of the Institute of Advanced Study of Human Sexuality in San Francisco, which was under the aegis Pomeroy, who was the Kinsey co-author, who now would be training all these guys in the West Coast And so they were doing pornography and they were showing pornography to the young up and coming seminarians. And they were inundating these young guys with, quote, sinful from the Catholic Church, you know, material, and corrupting them. And the ones who wouldn't be corrupted were removed as too orthodox. And the ones who would be corrupted were retained as liberal enough, you know. And I mean, it wasn't everybody. There were pockets of these seminaries where these kids, these young men, were taken captive of, and you know, some of their stories are heartbreaking. And of course, the abuse of the children is one of the things that has finally brought child abuse to the attention of the public.
Yes, absolutely. I did want to add, it was very, very odd. I guess maybe I could characterize it as odd. I have the conspiratorial mind, but almost immediately, within a very, very short time, the Jerry Sandusky was the assistant coach at Penn University. The head coach was Joe Paterno.
Paterno, yeah.
He almost immediately resigned, or not resigned, but he retired, and he claimed that he had some sort of a cancer, and he was going to go home and fight it. And I believe I would have to research the exact amount of time, but I think within 6 months of the scandal breaking, he was supposedly dead. Whether he was really dead or not, you know, that's for a lot of people to debate. But I find it quite interesting. I almost think that he seen the writing on the wall, and he was going to be asked to give testimony, or going to be charged himself, almost, I think.
Well, I think there's a lot that has not been explored there. There was that charity that for boys, the boys' charity, right?
Uh-huh.
Some kind of a, you know, well, what went on there? I mean, a lot of that, those pieces have been left hanging. With almost all these situations, allegedly, there is a real, you know, we're going to find out what went on. And I'll tell you something, probably the only place where there's been a real, let's find out what's going on, you know, let's get these guys, has been with the Catholic Church, since it's been taken over by outside, you know, forces. But those outside forces could have taken over the Sandusky issue, certainly, just as well. There's too much stuff that's, I still say, if you're convicted of sex with a child, it's either, you know, it's either execution or it's life. And you will be amazed, once you go back to execution or life, how the abuse of children will deteriorate.
Oh, goodness. That's a very, very interesting ringtone there.
Yeah. I mean, our child protection organizations, none of them really are doing the job of protecting. And as I said on something recently on the Craig's, anyway, I, you know, so long as our protectors, official protectors, are clearly not protecting, right, our children, we have to make sure that guns and ammo are available to the good guys to do the protecting, because we have to have people who are going to protect our children.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, I've been saying that since day one. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I don't care, as long as you're over the age of 18 or 21, what consenting adults do to each other, the children need to be left alone. And as far as underage boys and girls, or whatever the case happens to be, boys and boys or girls and girls, if they are underage and they do get raped or molested, this I think what you mentioned a little while ago, back in the 50s and 60s, it wasn't really considered rape. I think, and as you said, I think that stems from the family.
No, in the 50s, it was still rape.
Well,
it was the 1955 Model Penal Code changed all that. I'm sorry, but go on. Yes, fatherless families are just killing us, number one. But pornography in the family home, or pornography being exposed to mom or dad or father or a brother, or is killing us too. I mean, the answer used to be, you know, that every family should be an intact family, a father, a mother, you know, and so on. Sorry. And it should be. And that's the best. But now, as you bring pornography into that home, that will cause people to behave sexually. That will cause people to rape. I've had so many incest victims that describe the horrible things that they went through. I mean, we know that's happening. But still, people are safer. Children are safer still in the biological home with a biological father than they are with the boyfriend of the mother or some other oddball thing. And I'm not coming down on these women, except that we've all been conned. You know, we've all been tricked. People, all of us, three generations of us have believed false information about ourselves.
I cannot speak for a lot of people, but I do believe there are a lot of people that do support the Democratic Party, do vote Democratic Party, and they feel a sense of historical voting for them. Now, they might say, well, my grandparents and my parents all voted Democratic, so I need to vote Democratic too, for whatever the reasons happens to be. And I feel that they can be good people and are good people, and they do not like this agenda that has been around for a long, long time, the last 60, almost 70 plus years.
Yeah. The swamp.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good characterization. Sure.
It is a swamp. Washington is a swamp for sure.
Sure. But you know, that none of this stuff really started surfacing until probably Jerry Sandusky in 2011. It's been almost 9 years now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for those of us who've been around long, you know, I mean, yeah, no, it surfaced big time in the 70s when we started to find children were being, what was it? It was 1979, I remember, maybe it was, no, it was 81, when the New York Court of Appeals said that children could be used in any form of pornography.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know about that.
No, because we're none of us taught what the history really is.
Well,
that's
certainly.
Why. I mean, sure. New York Court of Appeals, it had to go to the Supreme Court. A year later, the Supreme Court unanimously ruled, no, we think maybe that the state has, you know, something, some real commitment to the sanctity of our children. And you can't use little 6-year-olds in pornography. So, no, it surfaced. It's really surfaced in 81 or 80 was, I think it was 80.
Yes.
And the New York Times editorialized in favor of the rights of people to sell their children for pornography. Now, let me make something clear.
Sure.
You are not allowed to rape your child. You are not allowed in New York. You are not allowed to sexually abuse your child. But if you sold your child to movie rights, they became then, here we go with semantics again, actors.
Sure.
And actresses. Okay.
Yeah.
So they could be used then for, for pornographic productions. So the campaign to maintain pornography has been ongoing since it hit the stands, which would be in 1953.
I think
53, and you have to realize Playboy magazine was always producing child pornography.
I think it's
always.
I think it's a a little ironic that you just happened to mention that. I think it was Penthouse magazine. I believe the year was 1976. I could be a little bit off, but Penthouse magazine printed pictures of Brooke Shields totally nude.
Yeah.
I think she was, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12 or
she was 12, like, I think.
Yeah.
And she was in that film Pretty Baby in 1977.
Blue Lagoon also. Yeah.
But I think and Pretty Baby broke the barriers on child pornography.
Yes.
So it was beginning to happen big time. But everywhere we look, it's taken time, but it's percolated down. And now I get regular, everybody out there should do a Google, Google thing where you get your alerts. Yeah. I do a Google alert for teacher abuse of children and for baby rape.
Yes.
Yeah, baby rape. Everybody out there should do a Google alert for baby rape so you understand what's going on, or professor raping, or, those kinds of things, because you'll fill up your, and if you think it's been going on for forever, that's what everybody thinks out there who's younger than me. Yeah, probably. It's not true. I had the data on New York in 1941 or something. Anyway, it's absolutely not true. People were not shooting each other down, as you walk down the street. People were not raping children or each other. Yes, you had some weirdos. You always had,
yes,
people who were unbalanced, who did terrible things.
I would like to just make a comment, and then you can make a short comment on that. And then maybe after that, you can take however long you would need to take, a minute or two, to tell us about all of the websites that you have. But I remember thinking back in the late 70s, I think you just happened to mention a few minutes ago about the year 1980 or 81. It's probably around the same time I started hearing all of these scandals about the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself way back then, I thought to myself that the Catholic Church had been infiltrated and taken over by gay men, mm-hmm, or, well,
yeah,
I didn't
yeah
even know what the word pedophile was back then. I called it child molesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I thought to myself way back 30, almost 40 years ago now, that the Catholic Church had been taken over and taken over by gay men.
Oh, yeah. And they were. They did. They were. There's no question about that. I mean, we did the research that's just coming out. I'm trying to remember what it's going to be, a book on it. Oh, the John Jay Report. Right. Yeah. The John Jay Report. Well established. Yeah. This is homosexuality. There's no question.
Yeah.
And when you begin to have enough homosexuality within a small and enclosed environment, you end up pushing out all the straight guys.
But
that's just what happens. There's a natural inclination.
I do.
You're not. Yeah.
I do know plenty of gays and lesbians that don't like this agenda, though. So I do have to point that out.
Well, yes. I would just like to see them. I know a couple of them. What's his name? I forgot his name. Redheaded guy. But anyway. But not enough come out and say what's going, object
yes
to what's going
yes
on.
Right.
Now, more are doing that now that we've gotten across the transgender thing, going on, which is eliminating, well, it's mostly eliminating women. But anyway, yeah, so more are coming out now.
Sure.
And we know that early sexual abuse has been and still is a major component of subsequent homosexuality and lesbianism. Now that's changed as we've brought so much of the propaganda into the schools and in the school books and in the literature, the little, fiction books the kids are given and so on. People will be whatever it is that the surrounding environment sets precedent on. Whatever the surrounding environment sets if it's jazz, if it's these drag queens in the libraries,
Yes.
Whatever we give credence to, whatever we end up using something to celebrate for whatever reason, because they've suffered, or because they, you know, they need understanding, whatever. Anyway, what we do, what we give our attention to and our celebratory, you know, to, that will be what people will tend to gravitate toward. That's just the way human beings are. That's how we are.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, I did want to tell you, or I did a few minutes ago, if you want to take a couple minutes and plug anything, all your websites or any particular research that you're going to be doing, or any particular countries you're going to be going to, or.
Yeah, I'm going to Israel in March, speaking at a college in Israel in March, but I want people to please take a look at the website that is stopthekinseyinstitute.org. I think it's .org. stopthekinseyinstitute.org. It is a very important website. Please take a look at the data there. They did a brilliant job. I didn't do it. Some wonderful people did it. And honestly, we are going to be trying to do a return to a congressional investigation of the Kinsey Institute for Crimes Against Children. And at that point in time, we would be able to bring forward our evidence, which is irrefutable. And I would really like people to go to that petition, stopthekinseyinstitute.org, and sign the petition so that we have 35 or 38,000 people who have signed so far. But I mean, I would like to see it become 100,000. I don't do any social media.
Or a million.
Pardon?
Or a million. Or 10 million.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because if we did a million, if we just did 500,000, that would be a major investigation, and we would get that. We'd finally break the control of the media over information and get that out to the public. And people have to know how they've been tricked, how they've been lied to, why so much of the problems that they're having are not due to their stupidity, not due to their bad natures, not, but because they have never heard the truth. Oh, well, so you should read my books, but most people are too lazy right off. So go to my websites and look at all the documentaries on there. There's one on, the Donahue Show I did, which was really fun. And there's the Kinsey's Pedophiles, and there's the Kinsey Syndrome, and there's a lot of them. By the way, I started to tell you, and I want to repeat it because I didn't tell you. In 1995, Playboy sued me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
For Playboy sued. They would never do it in this country. They did it in the Netherlands. They sued me.
Uh-huh.
Because I said Playboy had been doing child pornography since their inception throughout, and from cartoons to photographs and so on. And so they sued for defamation. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They lost.
Yeah.
The judge said, she, you know, Dr. Eastman sent all these pictures. There are the dates. These are kids in sex with adults. What you've been doing.
It was kind of hard to hide, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they would never sue me. And if anybody from Playboy is watching, please sue me. Please. Right, I said that on the Donahue Show. I said, please sue. Donahue was 1990. They have not sued.
Right.
They wouldn't dare.
Well, they probably know they can't.
They could, but they'll lose.
Right, right.
The pictures are there.
Yeah.
And now even more so, because when I first said that, people didn't understand the role of the cartoon as much as they do now.
Yeah.
So now they're having their understanding. Look, you guys, I mean, all of you out there, you've been just taken for suckers. Not your fault.
Yeah.
The radio, the television, the books, the films, the stuff you got in schools, you know.
Well,
and there's so much, and you have just so much time in a day. If you're working and you're trying to take care of your family, and even if you've abused somebody, my gosh, I never say, you know, that Okay. But understand what these stimuli do to the human brain.
Yes.
Not abuse it, but understand it.
Yes.
Because there's such a relief in that. I got that from a lot of, I deal with the homosexual issue a lot, and I've had homosexual guys and lesbians who've talked to me afterwards and said, I had no idea. Yeah. But they remember now.
Yes.
What they saw, what they heard, how it happened.
Yes. I think, I don't know how much longer you want to continue. We do have over an hour so far.
Okay. Well, that should be the end. I should think everybody's pretty much fed up with me by now.
No, not at all. You're not even close. I did want to leave you with, a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I think factually speaking, a good majority of boys that were molested as children end up being gay. And I think it's the other way. I think it's the same way for girls too.
Quite a few. For the most part, most guys just bury it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it comes up later, or it affects them in a lot of ways. It affects their ability, but a sizable proportion of homosexual males and lesbians have been early sex abuse victims. Mostly with lesbians, it's got a lot to do with the incest. Yes. Not necessarily the father, can be the uncle, can be the brother, that kind of thing.
Yes, yes. And the other thing I wanted to leave you with too before we left, I think it was 1999. I don't remember the director's name, but somebody will pop the name in the chat. The movie with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh yeah.
The big conspiracy that is still going on for years and years and years. That was a movie that was disclosing the elites and their sexual appetites. But the conspiracy goes that the director wanted to leave in a lot of the scenes where adults were having sex with children, and he was told that was not going to be.
Who's the director?
I'm trying to remember his name now. Maybe somebody's gonna pop it in the chat so I can tell you. But he ended up wanting to put it into the film, and they told him no, and he ended up dying mysteriously.
Yeah, well, anybody who'd want to put a scene of children being sexually abused for a film, I don't care how legitimate, has got enormous problems.
Yes. I'm going to Google it real quick here so I can see.
Don't forget the Kinsey film produced by Condon, directed by Condon. He's a good director. And Kinsey film was with Liam Neeson.
Was it? Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and Laura Linney was Mrs. Kinsey. She should only be so lucky to look like that, you know,
right,
at any
right.
point, Laura Linney. But,
Stanley, Mrs. Kinsey. Stanley Kubrick, that was his name.
Oh, he's the one who did, yeah, he's done some really bad stuff. He did Clockwork Orange too, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of mixed thoughts about that, but yes. Anybody who would do that and do even Clockwork Orange, that was bad. I mean, really bad. You know,
that was another disclosure movie too that he did. A lot of people think he was disclosing, things that go on.
There are ways to disclose, and there are ways to disclose.
Yes, yes. Well, I do thank you for spending some time with me, about an hour and 10 minutes almost.
Yeah. Oh, whew, my goodness. Well, I thank you. It was it was nice to be able to return to the old times. Yeah, Steve. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was
good. Well, we do have so much material. Maybe this spring or summer we can do another one.
Maybe, but if you take this one and splice in all those little bits and pieces of my films or documentaries, then that could go forever.
Right, right.
And I really would like it to, because I would like people to know what was done to them and their children and their children's children.
Yes, yes.
And I thank you for the opportunity to chat with you today.
All right. Thank you once again.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone. I had thought about her for a long, long time wanting to get her back on. And then that friend of mine that helped me on the first show started messaging me and told me to get her on. So I called her back up and asked her to come on. And she most graciously did. So, and I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone. I'm going to play a couple songs and put something on after that remainder of the show. So I'll be right back, everyone.